Romans 8, 26 through 28. By the way, just one more thing, I guess. If you guys have any questions, or as we have made this announcement, if there's anything that you want to talk to me specifically about, I'm more than happy to talk through anything with you and answer any questions that you guys might have. So please know that I'm available for you guys, okay? All right, and just one more thing, last thing. During the summers, we want to try to transition maybe to the downstairs space. It's a little bit smaller. I realize majority of our students are going to be gone during the summer. UACC has been so gracious to us in letting us use their facility. And so we submitted the proposal, and I think they're going to be talking about it. And so let's be in prayer that hopefully they will continue to be generous and open up that door so that at least during the summer, we won't be meeting here where it's so cavernous, but we can move downstairs where it might be a little bit more suitable for our size, at least during the summer months, okay? All right, let's read this together. Romans 8, verses 26 through 28. Romans 8, verses 26 through 28. We're continuing on in our series, Investigate. We want to talk about investigating the Holy Spirit. And this is what Paul writes. He says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. Amen. So we want to talk about the Holy Spirit. And I realize there's many different aspects of the Holy Spirit that we can talk about. But I want to at least lay the theological framework first. And then after that, talk about the specific aspects of the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit of God moves in our lives. So first of all, to talk about the Holy Spirit, we have to talk about the Trinity, right? We know that God is a Trinity. He exists as one. We say the Trinity is really God, one in essence, that there is only one God. The Bible makes it very clear that there is only one God, but this one God exists in three persons. There's God the Father. We see that in Philippians 1:2. When Paul writes, grace to you and peace from God our Father. So there is God the Father, but not only is there God the Father, but there is God the Son, Titus 2:13. Paul once again writes, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. So he calls Jesus Christ also our God. And then there is God the Holy Spirit, Acts 5, 3-4, when Peter is confronting Ananias of the lie that he tells. He says, Ananias has lied to the Holy Spirit, and later on, he says, in fact, Ananias has lied to God, referring the Holy Spirit to God. So it's clear, very clear that we need to understand this, that we're not talking about three different gods, but there is one God, one in essence, but that God reveals himself to us as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You know, oftentimes when we talk about the Trinity, the question is, why do we believe it? Well, we believe it because this is what the Bible teaches about the nature of who God is. There isn't necessarily a statement in the Bible where you can point to a specific verse where it says God is one in essence, but God is three in person. But as we are able to read about the different aspects of God, because the Bible is a revelation of who God is. And so as we are able to read about the different aspects of who God is, we believe in the Trinity because that's how God has revealed himself to us. And it's very important for us to understand that we are approaching God from people who are finite. We're limited in our understanding of who God is, right? Versus God is infinite. And so we need to understand that we will never fully be able to grasp who God is. But the way in which we understand who God is, it's in accordance to how he revealed himself to us. And God, in all of his infinite wisdom, has revealed himself to us as one who is one in essence, but three in person. And so we want to focus today on the third person of God, the Holy Spirit of God. We understand the role of the Holy Spirit of God in our lives as someone who empowers the believers. Even Jesus, right before he was taken up, he says to wait for the Holy Spirit of God to come, because when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, that we will be empowered to go and to be his witnesses. So the Holy Spirit of God empowers us. He purifies us. It's the Holy Spirit of God that it convicts us of our sins. It's the Holy Spirit of God that leads us into God's truth. But what I want us to wrestle with and understand and be strengthened this afternoon is specifically the truth that the Holy Spirit is at work for us. Just think about that. This God who is all-knowing and all-powerful, that he is at work in and through our lives because he is at work for us. So the one thing that I want to share with us is simply this: the Holy Spirit fights for us. The Holy Spirit fights for us. So whatever word that's going to ring true, some of us, maybe it's the Holy Spirit helps us. Others of us, if we're like, the Holy Spirit battles on our behalf. But I like the word fight. The Holy Spirit fights for us. Just think about what that means for you, where you are. Maybe some of the struggles that you're wrestling through with. The reality that it is the Holy Spirit of God who fights and who battles for you. And I think the question that I want us to ask ourselves is, if the Holy Spirit fights for us, if the Holy Spirit is at work in and through us, if the Holy Spirit battles for us, then how does the Holy Spirit work? How is the Holy Spirit fighting for us? How is the Holy Spirit encouraging us? How is the Holy Spirit building us up? And Paul mentions three realities about the Holy Spirit of God. First of all, he says that the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. Verse 26, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. So it's right there, right? The Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. But not only that, but the second reality that he says is that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us according to God's will. That he is interceding for us, and not just interceding, because he knows the mind of God. He is interceding for us. The Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And not only that, but lastly, what we see is that the Holy Spirit works for our good. The Holy Spirit works for our good. For he finishes off his thought. He says, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. And we want to try to explore these three realities of the Holy Spirit. So let's tackle that first one together. The Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. The Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. Okay? Turn to the person that's sitting next to you. I want to try to make this a little bit more interactive, at least among y'all. So turn to that person and let them know, Holy Spirit, he helps you in your weakness. So the word helps in the Greek, it simply means coming to the aid of, or being a burden, or excuse me, not being a burden, sorry. Woo! Bearing a burden along with. Okay, that's better, right? So coming to the aid of, or bearing the burdens along with. So when Paul talks about, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, it's the Spirit of God that comes to our aid, and he is bearing our burdens along with us. And so it's this picture of the Spirit of God not only walking with us, but actually helping us to carry our burdens in that process. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. And the word weakness, it's not referring to a specific instance. But literally, it's this general terminology that Paul uses to describe all of our weaknesses, all of our struggles. Whatever it is that we are facing in our lives, That the Holy Spirit is not limited to only this, this, and this, and everything else, it's hands off. No, in all of our weaknesses, the Holy Spirit, He comes and He aids us and He bears the burden along with us. And when you think about it, I was thinking about this because of just everything that we've been going through as the pastors for the last month. We've been praying about what's going on in Chicago. We've been talking through all the different options of what we could do. And I just felt like, man, how can this be? And I felt so weak and helpless. But that's when I had to lean on this truth. That it's not just when certain things happen that we feel like it's beyond our control that exposes our weakness, but in fact, we are weak all the time. Some of you are, I don't think that's me. Trust me. All of us, we're weak all the time. Sure, there might be moments where we feel like, yes, I'm strong, but then right? That's why so many of us struggle in this cycle. That certain things happen, maybe like we're doing our devotions in the morning and poof, we feel the Word of God just coming and ministering. And we're like, yes. I feel so close to God, and I'm strong, and I'm walking in the Lord, and something happens, and we feel so weak. Whether we doubt, whether we're questioning things that happened in the past, is this real? Is God good? And so I would say that we're actually weak all the time. Even when we try to be strong, it doesn't last for long. And sooner or later, we see our weakness coming up over and over again, and it's discouraging because we try to persevere through it. We try harder. But the cycle is we get tired and we see ourselves failing, and that becomes disheartening. And I think this is such good news, at least, I don't know about you, but for me. Because I realize that the reality of following Jesus is this. The reality of following Jesus, it's never about our strengths. Because some of us, we make it into a game of strength, right? I was going to say something about Game of Thrones, but I won't. Right? Because somehow we think to ourselves, if only I was strong enough. And you fill in the blank. If only I was strong enough in my faith to just believe. If only I was strong enough in my willpower, then I wouldn't be struggling or I wouldn't be stuck in this situation. If only I was strong enough in my devotion or maybe in my consistency or whatever it may be. That we turn it into this game of strength where we try harder and we try to be better. We try to overcome. But the reality is, following Jesus is never about the game of strength, but it's about our devotion and this reality of our dependence. And I think this is what it means when the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. I think what it means is that as we live in this weakness, what the Spirit of God does is He causes us to what? Focus our eyes on who? On Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. So it's never about how strong we are, but it's always about how dependent we are. It's a game of dependence. The question is never, are you strong enough? But the question is, are you fully dependent? And here's the beautiful part about that question. That question of, are you fully dependent? That's never based on you. But we can be fully dependent because of the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives and in our hearts. That's what the Spirit of God does. He comes and He causes us to be dependent. And that's why Paul was able to write in 2 Corinthians 12:10, he says, "For when I am weak, then I am strong." Right? Seems like Paul is contradicting himself. When I am weak, then I am strong.
It's like someone saying, when I am dumb, then I am smart. When I am speeding, I am going slow. Doesn't make sense. When you are speeding, you're going to get a speeding ticket, which
I actually recently did get a speeding ticket.
Not only did I get a speeding, but it was a double whammy. Because not only did I get a speeding ticket, I was late, so this is my excuse. So we're going a little bit off tangent. I got to vent a little bit. I was late for our pastor's meeting. And this is like in the thick of, you know, like praying about Chicago and all this stuff. And I'm like, I can't be late. I'm driving and all of a sudden, like I see lights in front, you know, from my mirror. And, you know, I haven't been stopped in a really long time. And I think because I was so focused on going home, I didn't realize how fast I was going. And when I saw these lights, man, I just freaked out. So I'm like trying to pull over in the middle of the road. And I actually almost ran someone else off the road. And so the cop came, he got in his loudspeakers and he's like, pull over in the next subdivision. And that got me even more freaked out. So I'm like, all right, I got to pull over. And then I pulled over. I'm trying to find the safest place to pull over. Except in the midst of doing that, he told me I ran over or I ignored a stop sign. So he actually gave me 2 tickets. All right? I know exactly. Thank you. So I actually got to go to court. See if I can get it wiped off. I was thinking it's kind of like Jesus, but not really. Taking defensive driving. Except I have to do the work. Right? Paul says, because when we are weak, we are strong. So in other words, what he's saying is that if I know that this is going to be my constant struggle, and Paul knew this very well. I mean, that's what we've been studying all throughout the book of 2 Corinthians, that he knew that he was a weak man. But the reason why he was able to have such confidence, because what you can say about Paul is that, yes, he was weak, but yes, he was confident in his faith. That confidence came not because he was a giant intellect. He was a giant in his, you know, understanding and knowing of who God is. But he realized it's only when he was weak. Then he became strong because the Holy Spirit of God caused him to be dependent. And so I think he's really talking about strength through dependence. And that through our dependence, the Holy Spirit of God becomes our strength. You know, I just feel like many of us are experiencing growing pains. I don't know how else to put it. As we wrestle through with different issues and as we wrestle through with different fears, I think we need to depend on the Holy Spirit. Because it's only through the Holy Spirit of God that we're going to experience breakthroughs. And so we think about, okay, so I need to be dependent on the Holy Spirit of God, but how do I depend on the Holy Spirit of God? And for me, the best way that I know how to depend on the Holy Spirit of God is through prayer. And that's why prayer becomes so important. And you know, you notice that when you first start to struggle in your faith, right? Because of whatever, the hardening of your heart, or because struggles that you're going through, because of what other people... You know, the first thing that you do not want to do is pray and read the Word of God. Because it's through your prayers that the Spirit of God breaks through into your heart. And that's why when people struggle, that's why when I struggle, I have to force myself, even though I don't want to. See, this is where maturity comes in. Because maturity is realizing that even though at times you might not want to do certain things, but you know that you need to do it. And so even though you might not want to pray, you need to pray. That you need to be on your knees, that you need to be crying out to God. Because what you need is a breakthrough where the Holy Spirit helps you to see that you need to be that much more dependent. And that's why the second truth is that much more encouraging. Because we know not only the Spirit of God helps us in our weakness, but Paul also points out to the fact that the Spirit himself intercedes for us. Because I think Paul knew this reality, that in order for us to break through into this dependence, that we need to be praying.
But it's hard for us to pray when we're struggling. But Paul says that's all right, because it's the Spirit of God Himself that intercedes on our behalf. That even when you don't want to, that you know that there is someone who is constantly praying for you, interceding on your behalf. And that is the Spirit of God Himself. Even when we don't know what we need to be praying for, Paul says the Spirit intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. I don't know, I wonder how many of us this really resonates in us. Maybe we've gone through seasons in our lives where we can't even put into words what we're feeling and what we're wrestling with. But even at those moments, the Spirit of God knows exactly what is on our hearts. And that's exactly what He is praying through. And I think it's amazing that His intercession for us, it's never dependent on us. That Paul doesn't say, you know what, the Spirit of God will intercede for us if you do X, Y, and Z. Or if you're here when it comes to your spirituality. Or if you come to God first and you cry out and say, you help me, God, then the Holy Spirit of God will come and intercede. No, Paul says the Holy Spirit will intercede and He will continue to intercede. And it's not dependent on what you do, but it's dependent on His absolute love for you. I think for me, that's why this encourages me in two ways. First of all, it encourages me because I know that the Holy Spirit of God knows me. And I don't necessarily mean knows me in terms of He knows my favorite food, He knows how tall I am, but the Holy Spirit of God knows me inside out. He knows what I struggle with. He knows where my weaknesses are. But despite the Holy Spirit of God knowing me, this is the second thing that really encourages me, that He's willing to go to battle on my behalf. That the Holy Spirit of God Himself is battling for my heart and my mind. I think if we really let this truth sink into us, I think even when we approach struggles and difficulties, it gives us such a different perspective to know that the Holy Spirit of God, not only does He know, but He cares and He loves so deeply that He's willing to step into that circumstance, that situation, and to say, even if you are not able and willing to fight for yourself, I will fight for you. That even as you sit where you are, the Holy Spirit, that He is battling for your heart and your mind. And in the midst of that battle, the Holy Spirit prays, God's will be done over your life. God's will be done over your life. You know, He doesn't pray, God, remove whatever it is that you're facing. And whatever it is that you're going through, the Holy Spirit doesn't pray, provide the easy answers or the easy way out. But the Holy Spirit of God prays, God the Father's will be done in our lives. And as He prays God's will for you, that through that intercession, that He prays that you will be deepened and strengthened even more in understanding and knowing what it is that God desires from us. And I think, I don't know what the word is, refreshing, encouraging. I think it's so awesome to know that even at times when we feel like we don't know what that will of God is, the Holy Spirit of God knows exactly what that will is. And the Holy Spirit of God intercedes so that ultimately that will be unveiled over our lives. And us being able to discover that will of God for us, it's not somehow if we can only hold on long enough. But even that, it's the Holy Spirit that is at work for you. The Holy Spirit that is interceding on your behalf. Just think about what that means. That the Holy Spirit of God right now is interceding for you. So that the will of God will continue to be accomplished through your life. And let me close with this. The last thing that Paul writes, not only is the Holy Spirit of God helping us in our weakness, not only is he interceding so that the will of God be done over our lives, but the Holy Spirit works for our good. Verse 28, Paul says, "For those who love God, all things together for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who have been called according to his purpose." Right? That he works all things together for good, for our good, for those who have been called according to his purpose. And when I first read this, I was like, wait a minute. Because I think many times the question that we get tripped up over is, how can what I'm going through, how can what we're going through as a church be good? But it doesn't say it's good. It doesn't say where you are that you're somehow in a good place. It doesn't say that your struggles are good. But what it promises is that regardless of what you go through, that it's not beyond God. That your situation is not beyond God. That what we are struggling through as a church and what's going on in Chicago, that it's not beyond God. And sometimes it is good, other times it's bad. But regardless of what it is, God can take it and he uses it and he brings about good fruit. And that's what the Word of God promises. And no matter what we go through, whether it's good or bad, whether it's clear, maybe it's foggy, whether it's understandable or beyond our comprehension, that God will take those things, all of it, and that he will work them together for the good of those who love him. So what does this picture of taking them and working them together for the good, what does that look like? I want to show us this video. It's about a story of this guy named Zach. And so let's go ahead and watch this video together. Okay.
I met Jesus when I was 5 years old. I grew up as the son of missionary parents in Ecuador, where I lived for 15 years. I went to college in Arizona, where I met my wife. For the next 10 years, we traveled around while I worked in the information technology field. We served in our local church, and I attended seminary. I often thought about working in full-time ministry, but no opportunity seemed right. I was told about a job here at New Spring Church helping with information technology. It was perfect, an IT job at an amazing church. I took the job and started working in October of 2008. For several months, life was very good and we were very happy. In May of 2009, at age 32, I was diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer. Immediately, I had surgery to remove a foot and a half of my large intestine and a lemon-sized tumor. I was told the cancer had spread to my spleen and to my liver. Chemotherapy was on the horizon. This was all a very sudden shock to me. I had always been very healthy. Now I found myself very confused. Why did I have cancer? Had I done something wrong to cause it? Was this a result of many years of sinful living in my past?
I was working at a church and serving God. Where did I go wrong? But thankfully, the confusion quickly turned to hope. I knew that God had a plan for my life. I did not understand why I had cancer, but I knew that God was in charge. For 3 months, I underwent a horrible chemo regimen. Afterwards, I had a scan done, and the results were great. There was no cancer found in my body. We celebrated God's healing and God's faithfulness. And the next few weeks of my life were some of the best as I celebrated being cancer-free. But another scan 1 month later showed that the cancer had reappeared, this time in my abdominal cavity. I was devastated. Why was it back? Everything was just starting to make sense, but the reoccurrence of cancer caused even greater confusion. I resumed chemotherapy and did more tests. The cancer is now growing and getting worse. Unfortunately, the chemo drugs are no longer effective in my abdomen, and surgery is not an option due to the degraded state of my liver. Medically speaking, there is nothing more for me. And medically speaking, I probably will not live to 2011. The Bible says in Matthew 7:11 that God gives good things to those who ask. God cannot give me a bad gift. And it is through that lens that I can say that cancer is the best thing that has ever happened to me. I am a better husband and a better dad, a better boss and a better employee, a better friend and a better follower of Jesus. And through cancer, God has shown me some amazing things about himself. Those are indeed great gifts. I still have questions about cancer, why it went away and why it came back. I do not understand, but I know that God is in charge. I am praying for God to heal me. That is my desire. I want to walk my daughter Lizzie down the aisle. I want to watch my sons, Jake and Luke, become men. I want to grow old with Mandy. And I want to live my life with my friends here at work. But I may not be able to work for very much longer. And I may have just celebrated my last Christmas with my family. I do know. If God chooses to heal me, then God is God and God is good. If God chooses not to heal me and allows me to die, God is still God and God is still good. To God be the glory.
Actually, he passes away. And there's a second video that they made, interviewing his wife and his children and them talking about the legacy that Zach left behind for them. But I was thinking about, what does it mean for the Holy Spirit to work for our good? And when I watched his story, I was so challenged to think about, it's not that God promises 80 years of cancer-free life. It's not that God promises that we will never struggle. It's not that God promises that somehow that spiritually we will never doubt, we will never question, that other people will do us wrong. But it's whatever it is that we face in our lives. And at times it's good, other times we live in a fallen world where it's bad. But it's the work of the Holy Spirit. So that even though we might not understand and even though we might grieve through that process, but at the same time, that God is at work so that through it that we can experience joy, that we can experience peace, that we can come to the reality that if God takes, then we can still praise Him. That if God gives, then we can still praise Him. praise Him. You know, we often talk about how through whatever situations and circumstances and trials that we go through, that God turns those opportunities into opportunities where we get to know a little bit more of who He is. And we talk about how sometimes, even in the midst of the struggles that we go through, that our greatest pain, it becomes our greatest ministry. But you know, the reality is, at times when we hear these phrases, it seems like such a spiritual cliche. And it would be a cliche unless we have a Savior who went before us. That we have a Savior who was willing to die for our sins. And we have a Savior who rose to give us hope. So that in this hope, that whatever we faced in life, that He would always point us to His cross. And that He would remind us that I've gone and I have made the way. And that even though I might not guarantee a problem-free, a pain-free life, but what I guarantee is peace, joy, love. And that's what the Holy Spirit reminds us. That as the Holy Spirit of God comes, He points us to the cross of Jesus. And He reminds us that there is a Savior who is worthy of our worship. That there is a Savior who is worthy of our trust. So that whether it's cancer, whether it's rejection, whatever it is that you go through in life, that you can know a hope that is greater. That you can experience a love that is more real. So that you can come to that place in your life. Just like Zach, that you can say, if I die, God be glorified. That if I live, God be glorified. How do we get to that point? Through the work of the Holy Spirit. As He softens our hearts, as He transforms us so that we become more and more like Christ, so we have the heart and the mind of Christ. And I believe that is God's heart for all of us, that He desires the heart and the mind of Christ in us. And that's what the Holy Spirit is going to continue to do. Let's pray together. Can you stand with me? I'm not sure where some of us are, but I know that for some of us hasn't been the easy journey for the last couple weeks, or maybe even longer. Things that we're wrestling with, things that we're noticing in our hearts. And I just feel like the Spirit of God is wanting to come. And regardless of whether you can feel it or not, He wants you to know that He is for you. Not for this other person, not for how you were yesterday or in the past, but He is for you right now, in this moment. And that He is fighting for you. He is interceding for you. That He's going to lead you back over and over and over again to the reality of who God is in your life. And that's why, even at those moments when we feel like things are so hopeless, that He reminds you that hope is not a situation, but hope is a person, that He is your hope. That when you feel so dry in your heart, that He reminds you that life isn't whether things happen or they don't happen. But the living hope and the life that you have is a person. And that person will be at work. So that you will know beyond a shadow of doubt that even at those times when you cannot fight for yourself, you have the Holy Spirit of God who intercedes and fights and battles for you because He loves you, that He is able to overcome, that He is able to harden the hardest of hearts, and that He is able to breathe life and hope, that nothing is beyond His reach. So I want to encourage us, let's run. Let's run being empowered by the Holy Spirit as He allows us to lift up our eyes, as He points us to the cross. Let's run by fixing our eyes on Him, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who has gone before us, who has carried the price that we should have carried. That in His death and in His resurrection, that we find freedom and grace and mercy and acceptance and love. So come on, hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, saying, I am fighting for you. That I will never give up on you. But I will overcome. So be dependent on me. Father, we come. Father, we need you. Holy Spirit of God, we need you. Pray that you will do your work right now here in this place to bring about courage in some of us. God, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that the Holy Spirit will come and that He will place hope in some of us. Maybe some of us, it's been such a long time since we felt like we've experienced that hope and peace and love that you will break through right now in the name of Jesus. You who conquered over sin and death, pray that you will come, that you will conquer over our hearts, and that you will breathe life, that you will breathe hope, and that in you today that we will experience victory. Just to pray. I don't know of any other way. Pray for the Holy Spirit of God to be at work. Pray for the reality of the Spirit's work to be revealed in your life, in your heart. And pray that the Holy Spirit will open your eyes to help you to see right now that He is battling for you, that He is for you. Let's do that together. Let's ask the Holy Spirit of God to come, to soften our hearts, and to break through into our lives so that we can experience a greater reality of who He is. Let's do that. Can we do that together, church? Let's pray for a little bit. Father, we come, we depend on you. God, we look to you.